Well, good evening once again. It's good to see all of you out here this evening. We're going to continue our theme, Kingdom-Focused Living, tonight for our topics. And our subject this evening, as you see on your program and has been announced, is enjoying good friendships. Enjoying good friendships. Friends are a blessing. And we need them. We all need friends. And as I think about our theme, the subject in light of our theme, Kingdom-Focused Living, it's a blessing that we can be a part of the kingdom of God and have true friends. There are many people that are part of the kingdom of Satan that thought they had friends, and when they hit rock bottom, found out they didn't have any. But it's a blessing that we can be a part of the kingdom of God. And number one, we can have Jesus Christ as our Savior, and also a friend, a personal friend. I realize tonight that there is again, with this many people, there's a wide range of youth that I'm talking to. There are different personality groups. There are those of you that like to be always out doing something with somebody, getting something together, making things happen, and just sometimes we say the life of the party. Then there's others that would be just as happy to sit in your bedroom and read a book. And when there's too many people, after a while I've heard the term peopled out. You're ready to just get away from all these people. I realize that many of you come from different settings. Some of you are from the local area. Some of you from out of the area. Some of you are from, I guess what I would say, secluded areas that don't have too many options when it comes to local friendships. And there's those of you that are from a populated area where there's maybe a number of Mennonite churches around where you interact with different people, and there's different options to choose from. And I grew up in this area where that's like it is. And when there is a close friendship group within a larger group, it's often called a clique. And I'm sure you've heard that, and that word clique tends to be viewed as very negative. And I don't know exactly what that word clique means. I don't know if you can describe to me what a clique is. Probably all in our minds have a definition of what a clique is. But the word clique tends to be viewed as negative. And it is true that what we call a clique can be very negative. It can be very negative, it can be very destructive. And my guess is that there's probably people sitting here tonight that are in a clique. And there's probably people sitting here tonight that are annoyed at somebody that's part of a clique that either you wish you were a part of or they don't take time for you. Is it okay to have a close group of friends within a larger group? Well, I'm going to say it is okay, and it's natural to have closer friends, especially, okay, we're talking about Lebanon County here, where you got Sharksville, you got Elm Street, you have Providence, you have Swatara, and you have all these local churches. And wherever you're from, if you're from Ohio, maybe it's the same way, wherever you're from, I believe it is okay to have closer friends. That isn't the problem. That are closer than others. And I believe it's unrealistic to say that your closest friends must come from your home congregation. And as I said before, I spent most of my youth years here in this area. And my closest friends were not from my local church, all from my local church, but they were from my local church as well as other churches. And we had many good times together. I have many good memories of my close friends and things we did together. And I don't regret having that close friendship with those people. As a matter of fact, we still get together. Next weekend, we're going to be getting together with some of those same friends. But when there is a close set of friends, it is very important how that set of friends relates to other people. And that is where the problem can be. We talked about a clique. What is a clique? Is it when there is close friends? Well, I think when we think about a clique, it's when those group of close friends ignore other people. And when, especially when you're among other people. Or when that close set of friends puts too much priority in that group and they start ignoring people that are around them. We want to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But friendships are an important part of our lives. As I said before, it's a blessing. It's a very important part of our lives. We need friends. Life would be lonely without friends. And as humans, we are built and wired to intermingle and to socialize with other people. We need friends to encourage us when we go through a valley. And I know there's probably some young people here tonight that are going through some deep valleys. And you know what it's like to have a close friend that walks with you through that valley. And it's in those times that you find out who your true friends really are. We need friends to ride with us over the mountaintop experiences as well. Because it's in those times that we tend to forget God. And so we need friends to help us. The friends that we choose will ultimately help direct our path through life. And as I was studying for this, I just thought back over the group of friends that I have and that I had and still have, and how that affected my path in life. And I left my mind wonder how my life could be different with if I would have had a different set of friends. And God only knows that. Well, I happened to marry one of my close friends, one of my best friends. We got married. We went to her church. And after there for a few years, I got ordained and got sent to Tyrone. So what if I wouldn't have been good friends with her? What if, and your mind goes on. But God works those things out in his timing. It's a beautiful thing. The friends that we choose ultimately help us to our final destiny, our final abode in eternity. And there are countless stories of good people that went wrong because they got involved with the wrong set of friends. Think about your own life. Think about the friends that you have, the people that you have or maybe are hanging out with. Do they encourage you to do what is right? Are they always pushing the edge and encouraging you to do what is wrong? What kind of friends do you have? I said before that there is not a problem with having a close friendship groups, and that's, I believe, is natural. But when the center of, or when the thing that draws that group together is mischief and evil, then it's wrong. Friends can either build us up or it can tear us down. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, I'm going to read it in the King James Version, then I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version to give us a little better understanding. It says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Now let's see what it says in the Amplified. It says, "Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character." Our friends are serious. The friends that we have matter. It makes a difference in our lives. Second Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Is your desire to follow after righteousness? What about the people that you're around? Is that their desire? Are they helping you in that desire? We need to choose and evaluate friendships in relation to our theme tonight, kingdom-focused living. Why were we created? Who owns us? Brother Philip talked about it last evening, is our ownership. Excuse me. What is our purpose here on this earth? What is really important in life? What is our final goal, our final destination? Do we have friends that are helping us to the right destination, or do we have friends that are pointing us to that line between the two kingdoms and drawing us to that line constantly? Well, I'd like to look at a number of biblical guidelines for enjoying good friendships. A lot of these are found in Proverbs, so you can turn with me to the book of Proverbs a while. There's a lot of little verses here and there that are tucked in throughout Proverbs that talk about friends. Proverbs chapter 17. Number one, a true friend is a brother friend. What do I mean by a brother friend? Well, let's look at what this verse says. Proverbs 17 and verse 17, it says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Now again, I'm going to read it in a different version. It says, "A friend is loving at all times and becomes a brother in times of trouble." That's why a true friend is a brother friend. Because when we get in times of trouble, we find out who our true friends really are. And when we get in times of sorrow, hard times, struggles, temptations, a true friend is going to stand beside you and be a brother and help you. There are two types of friends that a commentary talked about. There's the swallow friends, and there's the brother friends. Barnes, you know what swallows are, the bird. Swallow friends and brother friends. Swallow friends, they fly to you in the summer, but they leave in the winter. They're gone. Swallow friends could include friends that like you just because of your humor. Or maybe it's your money, your talent, your outgoing. Or let's turn it around. We are drawn to people because of those things. People that win the Powerball find out real quick what a swallow friend is like. And I just read recently about a couple that won the lottery. And they started having all these parties, and they found out they had so many friends, but it was so empty because the true friends that they really had didn't even show up at these parties. Swallow friends are friends that are only friends as long as there is interest there, as long as it satisfies them, and they're fed. But a brother friend loves at all times, through the thick and through the thin. They love each other for their character, their wisdom, the encouragement, their common goals. Adversity. Here we read in verse 17, a brother is born for adversity. That word adversity means adversary, affliction, anguish, distress, tribulation, trouble. That's a brother friend. So I want you to ask yourself, what kind of friend are you, and what kind of friends do you have? Are you a brother friend? Who are your true friends? What really matters in life? Number two, a true friend is someone that you can trust. Chapter 16 of Proverbs and verse 28 says, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." Chief friends means close friends. A whisperer has the idea of to roll to pieces, a slanderer, talebearer, whisperer. You know, a true friend is someone that you can tell anything to, and you know it's not going to come back to hurt you. You know that you can trust in that person. You can confide in that person. You can share your struggles with that person. And we quickly find out who those people are. Because trust takes time to build up. One little whisper, and we talked about communication, we talked about tale-bearing last evening, and one little word can ruin trust just like that. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. The Bible advises us not to meddle with these kind of people. These are not the kind of friends that you want. This is not the kind of friend that you want to be. They flatter with his lips. They try to befriend you just to get information out of you, to see what they can learn. We need to be the kind of friends that people can trust. Number three, to enjoy good friendships, we need to be a friend. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Very familiar verse. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If we want to have friends, we need to be a friend. And if we aren't loyal to our friends, we can't expect others to be loyal to us. Enjoying good friendships takes something from us. It takes something from our part as well. It is said of married couples that someone once said it takes a 50-50, and someone else said it takes 100% of both. And that is true for friendships as well. We have to give all. We have to give 100%. We can't expect our friends to do everything for us and do everything that we want. Good friendships show interest in other people, show interest in the other person's life. And I know there's probably people here someone here that feels like they struggle making friends. It seems like they just don't have any close friends, and there's no one includes them. And I know of someone that is like that, just feels like they can't get close to anyone. But I also know what it's like to be around that person, and when a conversation comes up, it quickly turns to themselves, and they have a story about whatever. It always turns to themselves, and it turns people off. You see, to be a friend, to have friends, you need to be a friend. Show interest in other people. Don't make the conversation about yourself. Ask about other people and their lives. We cannot be self-centered. To enjoy good friendships, we need to be ready to initiate things. And especially as we think about in a youth group, remember as a youth group, there's always people that tend to, well, we said there's two different types of people. There's those that like to make things happen, the others that just sit around and wait for something to happen. But I want to encourage you tonight, if you feel that you're never invited, you're never a part of anything, try making something happen. Try getting something together, and maybe you have tried that. But if you want to have friends, be a friend. Initiate something. Before we talked about, I think another way we could look at this verse is that, like we talked about before, it is okay to have some friends that are closer than others. The Amplified of this verse says, "The man of many friends, a friend of the world, will prove himself a bad friend. But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." Think of the example of Jesus. He chose 12 disciples. And I know that Jesus had a plan in mind of building the church and sending people out. But he chose 12 disciples that were with him. But we know from the Gospels that there was three that Jesus was really close to. And of those three, it was Peter, James, and John. And out of those three, there was one that says was whom Jesus loved. John was whom Jesus loved. And you see in Gethsemane, when Jesus went to pray, he took his disciples, and then he told his disciples to, "You stay here and pray." And he took those three with him. And he went a little farther. Why did he do that? He was close to those, I believe. It's okay to have close friendships, but again, how you relate to other people. If you have close friends here tonight, we're going to use tonight as an example. It's important that you relate to other people. Dale talked about it the other night when he announced about the snack tonight. He says he wants to encourage everybody to stay. He knows you like to run off to Hardee's or McDonald's. He wants to encourage everyone to stay. Now, I want you to think about that. If you are considering running off to Hardee's after church tonight, why do you want to do that? Why is it? What is your priorities? I believe that would be an example of being a negative clique. When your congregation has youth activities, be there. Be a part of it. Don't skip it to hang out with your close friends. When you're around large groups of people, show interest in other people. When you go to Bible school, it's so easy to see that sometimes. I know it's 3 long weeks sometimes. But show interest in other people's lives. Number 4, a true friend tells the truth in love. Proverbs 27. And verse 5, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And jumping down to verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. A true friend will not just be a buddy-buddy or a chum. A true friend will say it like it is, to help you be a better person. And the truth isn't always nice. It's not always easy to say. You know, a doctor's job is to heal you whatever it takes. Sometimes it means cutting you open. Sometimes it means putting a cast on, making you uncomfortable so that you heal properly. When I was, I think it was about 17, I had appendicitis, and I know it affects people differently. A lot of people have sharp pain in the lower right abdomen, but I didn't really have that. I was just high fever. I was sick, and it went a while till we realized what it was. I actually went to the doctor, and he says, "Nah, you don't have appendicitis. You just have the flu." And went home, and finally that evening we went to the emergency room, and they said, "We got to operate right away." So they cut me open. They put a nice big incision my abdomen. They cut me open, and there was... They, instead of sewing me shut when they were done, they put one little staple in the middle and left it all hang open. And they stuffed gauze down in there. And they did that because there was a lot of gangrene in there. And if they had closed me up, that would have continued to fester and it could have killed me. So the doctor said, "Okay, we're going to let that open. We put gauze in there, soak it in alcohol, stuff it in the incision. And every day you got to rip that gauze out and put new gauze in." And that hurt. It hurt. But that what was happening is when that gauze would dry, it would pull that infection out. And then put new in there, let that dry, and pull that infection out. After it was all cleared up, then they sewed me up. Why did he make me go through that? It was for my benefit. He was telling me the truth in love. That's kind of how friendships are. Sometimes we have to rip the gauze out of our friends. Sometimes people need to do that to us, and it hurts. But you know what? It's true. And we need to hear that truth. We need to get that untruth out. We need to get that whatever it is out of us. We tend to like people that make us feel good, that butter us up. Sometimes we use that terminology. But these are not true friends that we need to have. You're there in Proverbs 28. Look at verse 23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with a tongue. And I believe what that's saying is that It is better. He that rebuketh the man afterwards shall find more favor. In other words, if we rebuke our friend or people or our friends rebuke us when we need it, after we get over that initial pain, we're going to like that person better. And that's what makes a true friend. Number five, a friend is one you can go to for advice. Proverbs 27 and verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. We all have friends that you know that you can go to for advice. Someone that is going to help you. Someone that is going to care about your problem. And there's times, and there's also the friends that we know that we can go to and we're just going to have a good time. Maybe it's they're always on the lighter side. And there's nothing wrong with that at times, because sometimes we need that to lift our spirits. But a friend that brings happiness is one that we can go to for good, solid counsel. And true counsel, like we said before, is ones that will tell us what is best, not just what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. And we don't always, sometimes that's intimidating. We say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't have the answers. Well, that's okay. We don't have to have all the answers to be a true friend. A true friend will honestly say, I don't know what you should do, but I'll pray for you. I'll pray with you. I'll walk with you through that, through this. And there'll be a genuine concern for each other. Number six, a friend gives his life. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Today, to lay down one's life also means the readiness to put oneself back to serve the other person. And we have Jesus talking here, and Jesus was a beautiful example of one that literally gave his life for us. He was a friend that laid down his life, literally laid down his life, his physical life. But it was more than that. He laid down his life in the Garden of Gethsemane when he gave up his will for us. No, that wasn't his physical life, but he put himself back, and he was willing to be offered for us. A true friend will take the needs of his friends more seriously than his own needs. He'll put his friends' needs in front of his own needs. And I'm sure that you are like me, and that we can tend to be pretty selfish people at times. We need to make sure my needs are met, and then we'll see about other people's needs. But rather, a true friend will humbly put others first. Number seven, a true friend gives encouragement. Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6. We know the story of Job, what all he went through. In verse 14, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. And we know the story of Job, how his wife and his friends discouraged him. In chapter 2 and verse 9, his own wife, came to Job and she said, just curse God and die. What encouragement. Curse God and die. Just forget it, Job. Give up. But we all need encouragement and support in our Christian lives. We need encouragement to help us on, because we all get discouraged. We all have times where we're discouraged. We're down in our Christian lives. We go through those valleys. and we need true friends to encourage us. So what kind of friend are we? What kind of friends do you have? Number 8, a true friend is someone that is close and intimate. Let's go back to John chapter 15 again. John chapter 15 and verse 15 says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." A Lord only tells his servant what that servant needs to know. You go do this, and he goes and does it. You go do that, and he goes and does it. A Lord does not confide in his servant, A master has the plan, and he just tells his servant what to do. With Jesus, we can have a close, intimate relationship with him. We talked about the true friend that we have in Jesus. We sang the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And I don't know if you know the story behind that, and I should have brought that story along, but if I'm not mistaken, the man that wrote that lost his wife, his family, and he wrote that song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." He realized true friendship in Jesus Christ. We need to be that kind of friend to others, someone that cares, someone that doesn't hide things. Number 9, a true friend shares our Christian beliefs. There's a special connection with those that are part of the kingdom of God. There's a special connection, and you can go on a trip. You can stop in at a church where you don't know anybody, but they are serving the same Lord. They are Christians. And there's a special bond there. You can go to their house, you can visit with them, and you have something in common. And it's important that we choose our close friendships out of those that are part of the kingdom of God. I know we work with people sometimes that are part of Satan's kingdom. We rub shoulders with them, and we need to be friends with those people. But our close friendships that we enjoy need to come out of those that are serving the kingdom of God. If our friends are not helping us focus on kingdom living, then they aren't the friends that we want. We want friends that will help us get to our eternal goal. So what kind of friend are you tonight? What kind of friends do you have? Enjoying good friendships. What makes a good friend? I think you need to answer that question. What makes a good friend? We talked about different things that the Bible says that make a true friend. Ask yourself the question, what makes a good friend? What kind of friend are you? Maybe it's going to mean making some changes. Maybe it's going to mean the next time your friend calls you up, your so-called friend calls you up and said, "Hey, let's go do this." You'll say, "You know what? I got something else going tonight. I think maybe we shouldn't do this." May the Lord bless you as you choose right friends. Choose friends that are going to help you focus on what is important in life. Because when we focus again on that line in the middle, then suddenly everything gets fuzzy. Our focus is so narrow. But when we step back and look at the big picture, who we are, who God is, and where we're going, it makes a difference what kind of friends we have. May the Lord bless you.